So this evening, we're going to expand once again our the categories of people we offer metta to. Up until now, we've been offering the metta phrases, practicing metta for people that sort of normal in a sense, people who are close to ourself, obviously, our benefactor, someone we look up to, and our dear friend. But now we shift into the last three categories, which have different flavors of, gee, that's not who I normally offer love and kindness towards. First of these is the neutral person, which we're going to talk about today. So it's just outside of our normal range of people we offer loving kindness for. And so a neutral person is basically, if you have, maybe you have a lot of friends and a big family, and so maybe you've got in your circle of people you would naturally offer thoughts of loving kindness towards, or maybe there's couple hundred people. If you're more an expansive sort, maybe it's 50 people, but it's small compared to the number of beings on the planet, right? And so the neutral person is just a person who we sort of pick to represent everyone else. Everyone who's not in that close circle of people we naturally feel thoughts of loving kindness towards. And it's called the neutral person because it really is someone who we have no sense of other than very casual. It's really important that this particular person be alive because it's so much easier to work with someone who's alive for this category. And the other thing about choosing, one of the other things about choosing a neutral person is you have to be very careful that there's no sense of, oh, wouldn't it be nice to get to know that person? There's no we have to be careful not to get caught in the wanting of the near enemy of metta, which remember is wanting something in return. It's just like someone who's just like on the periphery of your life in some way. You go to the grocery store, and this person is one of those people who you see once a week who's checking out your groceries. Maybe they've got a tag on their shirt and it says Fred. That's it. That's all you know about this person. Or it could be someone you see on the bus on a regular basis. Or if you work in a big institution or company, 'cause it might be someone else who works there, but you never see them other than you pass them in the hallway or you see them in the cafeteria. Or I mean, you see what I'm going for? Something that's just like neutral. I don't naturally have any druthers about this person because I don't even know them. They're totally neutral. And it's casual, this relationship, in the sense of it's someone I see on a regular basis. And we have lots of people like this, in our various things that we do out there in the world. There's bound to be people who we see totally casually. It's not even an acquaintance. That would be too strong a word for this person. They're just there. All those people that we connect with, very sort of, oh, thank you for checking out my groceries. Have a nice day, sort of level, right? I spend time to time at a big rock yard north of Boulder because I'm a rock hound and I do a lot of rock work in my yard and stuff. And there's this guy who works at the rock yard. He's been my neutral person for like 3, 4 years now whenever I do metta for a neutral person. And all I know is this is the guy who weighs my vehicle in and out and writes out a little thing that says, $37.14 for those rocks, please. That's it. I don't even know his name. But it's just, over the years, because I've worked with him, it's like, oh, it's him again. I sort of get a big smile on my face when I see him. Just anyhow. But that's the sort of thing. It's like casual. So there's pluses and minuses in this sort of thing with working with a neutral person. It's, in one sense, it's quite easy because there's no, you have no sense of obligation. There's no, you don't owe this person anything. They don't expect anything from you. They're just like there. So there's less emotional turmoil possible, shall we say. It's just there. Sharon Salzberg, of course, has something to say about this. I want to share this. And she's repeating some of what I said, but I think it's also, she says it in her own way. It is helpful to choose someone whom you tend to see occasionally, since that will bring them and your changing feelings for them into clearer focus. If you can think of a neutral person, directing matter towards them may actually be something of a relief, since you will have no intense feelings about this person to interfere with the practice. He or she is a generic living being, wanting to be happy just as all of us do, making mistakes just as all of us do. We have no reason to feel separate from this person or to begrudge their happiness. Reflect on the person's, this neutral person's wish to be happy, identical to your own. This is like, oh, this is when we start to go, yeah, who doesn't want to be happy? Who doesn't want to feel safe and at ease? It's like our natural birthright to have what these meta phrases are expressing. Over time, it is common to discover an increase of caring and warmth towards the neutral person as they seem closer and closer to you. They are, after all, a kind of non-erotic secret love. Just being a little hyperbolic there, but once I returned to Barrie after a meta course was held there, I was meeting our bookkeeper who had sat that retreat. We were discussing someone we barely knew who worked at the bank, and her face lit up as a, though she were in love. Startled, I questioned her, and she replied, "Oh, he was my neutral person during the meta retreat." I've seen this happen many times in my own experience and in that of others, where the force of concentrating loving energy on someone opens a special place in our hearts for them, even if we never say a word to them. And so that's a pretty good description of the idea. And it is, think about it, I just want to emphasize it. This is sort of like a stand-in for everyone else. And so it doesn't matter who you pick. It absolutely has no, like, oh, well, I should pick that nice person who checks out my groceries, who always has a smile and we have a little chat. Don't go there. Just don't think it has to be a specific person. It's just totally generically neutral. So I'm healing your brains all thinking, well, who am I going to pick, right? But there's also quite a difficulty with the neutral person. With the other categories, we know them. We know ourselves to a certain extent. We know our benefactor. We know our dear friend. But this neutral person, we know nothing other than, they work at that store. And their name is George or Mary or whatever their little name tag has on it. That's all we know. So it's harder to connect to this person because there's no juice. There's no, we have no memories of them, no idea what their future plans might be. We know nothing about them. And this is the challenge of the neutral person, is that we have to connect to this person, feel connection to this person, sincerely offer them thoughts of loving kindness without knowing anything about them. They're just there in our peripheral vision, so to speak. Sometimes, and I haven't done this, but friends of mine have told me this has been really helpful for them, is they imagine this person likes to do something. They imagine something, they make up something about them that's probable, you know, that makes it them more real to them somehow. You can play with that if it makes sense. But the flip side of this is always going to be, because I have no way in, no connection, the possibility of boredom arises more than with the other categories. It's like, oh God, this neutral person. Yeah. It's like, oh boy, the neutral person, and oh God, the neutral person going on at the same time sometimes, right? Joseph Goldstein has this great riff on boredom that I think is actually quite useful here. This is a chapter from his book, Insight Meditation, called Thank You, Boredom. Try and put those two together in your mind, right? Thank you, boredom. Like anger and other emotions, boredom often fools us into directing our energies entirely to the external situation. Thus, it keeps us from liberating ourselves by seeing our relationship through the emotion itself. We make a great mistake about boredom when we think that it comes from because of a particular person or situation or activity. So the idea that the neutral person is the source of our boredom is the problem, in a sense. So much of the restlessness in our meditation practice and in our daily lives derives from this fundamental misunderstanding. How often do we try to find something new to recapture our interest, something more stimulating or more exciting? And how often does that too quickly become boring and dull, so that we range off again, looking for yet another something better? To realize that boredom does not come from the object of our attention, but rather from the quality of our attention, is truly a transforming insight. Fritz Perls, one of those who brought Gestalt therapy to America, said, "Boredom is a lack of attention." Understanding this reality brings profound changes in our lives. Excuse me. Then boredom becomes a tremendously useful feedback for us. It is telling us that the situation, a person, or meditation object. No, it is not telling us that the situation, a person, or meditation object is somehow lacking, but rather that our attention at that time is half-hearted. Instead of wallowing in boredom, have you ever wallowed in boredom? Instead of wallowing in boredom or complaining about it, we can see it as a friend saying to us, pay more attention, get closer, listen more carefully. It's just, oh, it's like this, you know, the yellow flashing light on the dashboard that's going, something's not working here. And what's not working is that we're not paying enough attention. We're not tuning in enough to the image of the person. We're not tuning in enough to what these phrases mean. We've gone mechanical in our practice. And then that's what, and it seems, boy, this is really boring. But really, what it's saying is you're just not paying enough attention. So it's like if boredom becomes a problem with the neutral person, it's really good to, you know, do that restart, reboot thing I talk about all the time, where we drop the phrases, go back to tuning into what the phrases mean. Though, of course, here, we don't know what they mean for this person. So all we can do is, what do these phrases mean universally? What does it mean to be happy in the universal sense of what anyone would think of as being happy or healthy or living at ease or whatever? So we have to sort of broaden our understanding of those phrases to include this somewhat generic, I suppose, ideas of what those phrases mean. But we have to then tune into that, like really feel that. And it might we might see, oh, that's somewhat different than how I feel about it, but that's how it seems everyone else, the world, feels about it, you know. And of course, this is going to be somewhat arbitrary, but it's as long as you have that way to connect, that's what counts. It's the whether you have the sense of that, that's what works. And then this is the last sentence of Joseph's thing here. When we recognize what boredom is, it becomes a great call to awaken. Wake up, pay attention. Pay it more attention. That's what boredom is saying. We just don't hear the message usually. We don't get it usually. The other split side of this is, don't be surprised, as Sharon mentioned in her example, that your feelings towards this person over time, if you work with the same person for a long period of time, it's like, oh, I get to go to the rock yard today and see that guy. It's like all of a sudden you're excited to see this person. Just I'm not, and it's just that it just happens because you've worked with this person and had these thoughts of love and kindness towards them long enough that they you sort of feel this sort of heart connection to them. But, and this is very important, don't ever, ever tell the person who's your neutral person that that's what's going on. For one thing, just sort of put yourself in their shoes. You come and say, you know, I've been doing this metta practice for 3 months, and you're my neutral person, and I'm full of thoughts of loving kindness for you now. And they're going to go, get me as far away from this person. It would just be like totally weird, right? So you just, it's really important that you don't go there. And you want to, because now you have this sort of, gee, it'd be sort of be nice to get to know this person. Now that I have all these thoughts, sweet thoughts for them, you sort of want to start to get to know them. And, ask, hi, what's, are you married or single? What do you do? I know you work in a rock yard, but what do you do when you're not here? Whatever, And you just, if that's what's starting to happen, it's time to change your neutral person. Or understand that that's natural and go, no, not going to do that. Because it's kind of nice to have this person you can work with in your practice that you have this warm feeling towards. It makes it easier to sort of get into the juice of the practice. And you have to balance that. But just be very careful of to not go there in terms of letting them know how special they've become to you. This person who doesn't, it's like someone just walked in off the street and told you, oh my God, you're so special to me. It's like, it would be shocking to and pretty much anyone. So, and this doesn't mean, like, say this is the store clerk where you check out your groceries. It doesn't mean you still don't say, you still say, oh, have a good day. I mean, still normal, polite stuff goes on, but that's it. Just that's it. We don't make this into some big deal with this person. And you'll be tempted over time. You'll be tempted to do that. So, what do we do now? We practice. So what we're going to do is we're going to practice just a couple of minutes more with self, just to sort of reconnect to the practice. And then about 5 minutes with benefactor, and 5 or 10, well, maybe more like eight minutes for the dear friend, because it's newer and we want to, build that up and connect with that. Making sure you're using the same benefactor and the same dear friend all the time now. We don't start switching now. We stick with what we've got because that'll help with the concentration. And then you've all, at this point, probably figured out some neutral person you can focus on and have that. It helps if you know what they look like, and maybe you know their name, and so you can use that little trick of, when you're saying the phrases, say their name and then say the phrases, because that if maybe that'll help you connect. Their name's Fred because they have this thing, this little tag on their shirt that says Fred on it, right? That's all you know. That's plenty to know. And it also, sometimes with a neutral person, maybe there's some little something. This person, this store clerk person, has a nice smile. So you remember when you're visualizing them, you revisualize them smiling, or you remember that little thing about them. And you have to be careful because if you get too much of that, you're veering away from neutral. But a little something like that that helps you connect can sometimes be useful. And as I said, it's okay to imagine something. Just they really like their dog and they take their dog for a walk every day. If that helps you connect with that person because you like walking your dog and it sort of makes some sort of connection between you and them, that's okay too. Just a little imagination, but just once again, keep it minimal. Okay, so that's the plan. For those of you listening to this recording afterwards, try and follow that same pattern. And then come back and listen to the rest of the talk after we finished our practice period. So I'll lead us into this just by settling into our practice seats. So it's all together, we're going to practice for about half an hour. So settle in. Make sure you're grounded, steady, comfortable. Remember with metta, comfort is very important that you feel comfortable when you practice. And then just tune into that connection you have for self, whether it's an image or a felt sense. Very quickly, just connect to the meaning of these phrases, what they mean for you. And remember, your phrases might be different than mine by now, but they're the same categories of things we want to connect with. And then just once you're settled and have that connection as clearly as you can, keeping the connection, you then repeat the phrases. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. And just keep repeating the phrases. But really meaning them. You really want to wish yourself well. Now, metta is sometimes called well wishing. So before I open the floor up, I do want to sort of emphasize one couple of things here. Remember last week I talked about this idea of when you're going for a walk and you can sort of just offer metta to any being that you encounter. Well, most of those beings you're going to encounter are going to be neutral people, right? It's a great way to practice for a neutral person. And have it keep shifting depending on just who you're encountering in any particular moment. So it could be when you're going for a walk, because you're like me, you're a walker, and you're like, that's how you get your exercise, or you walk to work, or you walk to the store, or whatever it is you do. Another place you might think about working with this idea of sort of just in your daily life, Because what happens in our daily life most often is we just, these people that are always there, we just wash over them. We don't tune into them. We don't, they're just there. And we, the connection to them is at best minimal to just like, hey, who cares? And what we're trying to do is shift into something a bit more connected. So, grocery shopping is an interesting time because often when we go grocery shopping, we're like, we have our list and we're going and we gotta, we don't like being in the store and we want to get all our stuff and get the heck out of there, right? Instead, as you're shopping, try and have thoughts of love and kindness for all the other people in the store who are just as anxious as you are often to get the hell out of there. And if all those people seems like too much, you could even choose like, well, this time I'm shopping, I'm going to tune into all the couples who are shopping together because there's always you always notice there's couples shopping together, or all the people with kids, or all the people who seem really extra harried and frazzled, and just offer them thoughts of loving kindness. In this way, we just did. They're all neutral people, and you can just practice this being the way you connect to the world with thoughts of loving kindness to whoever you happen to be encountering right now. Random, totally. I mean, talk about totally random occurrence. You go to the store and just who knows? Go there. You're just there. There's, because a bunch of other people there. Who knows? It's just a thought. It's a way to take this practice and get it off the cushion and expand it out into the world a little bit and see what that's like. Okay, so that's all I have to say. So at this one, I want to once again, as I always do, open the floor to anybody who has any questions or anyone who has anything they'd like to share. In particular, what it was like to work with this neutral person, this idea of this someone you didn't even know, and what was like, could you feel anything at all? Did you, some people it's like, oh my God, it's such a relief to work with someone I don't know. It's kind of an amazing idea. And for other people, it's like, it's the biggest, this is sometimes the most difficult category because it's just so difficult to connect to. So share your experiences. And as always, just turn on your mic and start talking. And the two of you start talking at the same time, I will referee. Other than that, just feel free to share. It's always useful for me to know how things are going with you folks as you practice this stuff.
Thank you, first of all. A couple of things. I really actually enjoyed this one because it was very easy. And I guess it, as the weeks are unfolding, it's really kind of showing the different feeling tones or just sort of like the different, I don't know, like mindset behind each person. So this one felt a little bit more laid back, and I liked that because the other ones feel a little intense at times. Even for myself, it almost feels more robotic because I think it's hard. So I'm just trying to like get through it. I'm wondering if there's a point or if there should be this almost like consistency, like there should be this laid backness to all of them. Or if they should have the same kind of feeling tone, even though that's sort of impossible for me at the moment. That makes sense.
It makes absolute sense. Don't try and make everything the same. It, because how we interact with various people and different kinds of people is going to be different based on our personality and our experience and what we had for lunch today. Who knows? So don't worry about that at all. Just that's not, it's absolutely not important. It's skillful and it's sort of the mindfulness part of this is like the notice. Oh, that I'm really struggling with this category. Isn't that interesting? And sort of just be aware of that and go, oh, maybe in my regular daily practice, I want to put a little more emphasis in this one. Because what happens with people's regular daily practice is they start to find categories that are really easy, and that's what their practice becomes. Well, I think I'll just do all the easy ones. So we got to be aware that we can't leave out the ones that we don't find so easy. In fact, we might want to put a little more energy, more time into those ones than the easy ones as we go on over time with this practice, so that we don't neglect and ignore the places where we struggle, because that's where we're going to learn the most, where we struggle, where it's going to be most useful in the long term. But good question. Thank you, Elise.
Thank you. And can I just ask one more thing too?
Sure. You can ask as many as you want.
Okay. I was just kind of playing with this last week. I went for a few hikes, and there happened to be points in the hike where you're like, oh, this is the perfect place to just go have a sit and maybe practice a little bit. And I do this with mindfulness practice more. Like I keep my eyes open and they're, on a hike, of course, I'm like, I want to sit and practice, but I want to look at everything. I want to see these beautiful surroundings. And with metta, I'm just wondering your thoughts on like keeping your eyes open with something like that or closing them. It kind of messed with my own visualization, I guess, on the internal side of my mind, seeing things, but like, I'm just wondering what you think of that.
I think you don't want to mix sitting still and just admiring the incredible beauty of nature and practice. Close your eyes. You might sit there for a couple of minutes and take in the beauty, and so because that's going to make you open your heart, really take in, and then close your eyes and do the practice. See if that sort of gets you some of each. But it's pretty hard to do metta with your eyes open, because there's no visualization at all anymore, unless you're, doing walking through the grocery store metta, as I was describing earlier. But in terms of formal sitting practice, you have to close your eyes.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. But it's nice that you enjoy nature. That's I do a lot of walking, and I do a lot of walking in nature, and just like stopping and going, oh, look at that tree or that flower, and I just hang out and check them out. It's always wonderful. Other things people have to say or share, or questions you have to ask.
Yeah, thank you, Barry. I went shopping today, this morning, so I could check out person. I found it easy to pick, but a little harder to concentrate. It's a sim it's not as complicated as the others, So it was difficult to pick the other ones to settle, or to but it is interesting to imagine them having lives,
Yeah, which they do.
Yes. What would they do? And so it is interesting in that sense. I like the idea of walking around the store and maybe connecting with the people in the store a little bit.
Just in this really simple, non-intrusive way. Yeah. I mean, the idea is, in the Metta Sutta, the Buddha does say we should practice walking, standing, seated, or lying down, which is Buddhist code for all the time. So if we can sort of keep adding more times, and when this becomes sort of the natural thing to do, in the end, theoretically, at least, so they tell me, this will be our natural way of interacting with everyone we meet all the time. Wouldn't that be amazing?
It's also nice to remember that most people that you encounter, at least in Las Cruces, maybe in New York City, I lived in New York City for years, Maybe they're not going to be as open, but most of the people you run into are nice. I tend to sometimes focus on the unfriendly ones, but it's good to remember that pretty much everybody I ran into today was friendly. You know?
Yeah. There's lots of natural loving kindness out there in the world. It just is there. That's true too. And it's nice to know that and see that. That's in a sense being very mindful of what's there.
All right. Thank you.
Other thoughts, other questions, other comments? Don't feel at all obliged. As I always say, don't feel obliged to say or do anything.
Now, I'll just share, if that's okay, just what you said now, because, you know, I'm a stranger. I'm a new person in this country, and I walk a lot around. There's a creek here and a trail, and people say hello, good morning. And it's, for me, it's totally new, because where I came from, people just didn't do it. Everyone was tense and rushing around. And of course, there was a lot of hostilities from the outside. So for me, I start to recognize that just people nodding at me or saying hi or good morning is like loving kindness for me, because I'm totally new and, you know, alone. And it's like, in the beginning, it kind of blew my mind a bit. Like, you know, I mean, I know Americans say have a nice day and whatever, you know, culturally. I've been enjoying it. I'm really enjoying that. And I feel it's loving kindness towards me, you know. I mean, it's a give and take. But
So
I'm just pointing out a cultural thing that's,
You know. And that is part of, you know, because I experience, because I, like I said, I do a lot of walking. And, you know, my wife and I will be walking, you know, Teller Farm South or something. And there's always people walking their dogs. And everybody says good morning and hello and how are you. It's sort of pleasant, you know, just the sort of pleasantness that people have with each other naturally that's a great thing as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, it can, you know, every time you meet someone on your walk tomorrow, just offer them, not to be out loud, just, you know, say good morning, but then say the four phrases for them and see what happens. It'll be a different walk. Okay. So, as always, I have a little bit of poetry here. This is from Dana Fald's book, Go In and In, and it's a poem called Surely This Is Love, which sort of describes metta in a very poetic sort of way. I am intimately connected with all that is. When you water your roots, my heart blossoms. When I see you smile, that's when I know I'm fully alive. As you are able to live in truth, I raise the roof on this house I'm exploring. I throw the doors wide. Let the breeze blow in the windows. When you grow, I know it is my own opening. You stretch, I breathe. I give and you receive. Just beneath the fabric of our lives, coiled ready to spring or budding like a rose, reaching out to embrace or sitting, bathed in grace and stillness, this singing, circling, radiant, one with everything. Surely this is love. Describes metta to me. May the beneficial energies arising from our practice here together today become the causes and conditions for the end of suffering and the awakening of all beings everywhere. Thank you all for coming. Nice to see new people here today. Maybe tomorrow, next time, you'll want to even say something. Who knows? Other than that, we'll see you along the Dharma Highway.